Man, Jesus is amazing. His love is amazing. And we can call out to Him and He hears us. It's not like we're calling out to someone who can't hear us. We can call out to Him and He hears us. And He answers our prayer because He loves us. And that's, man, that's good. It's good to know that somebody always loves you. When you feel like nobody loves you, Jesus loves you. And that's good. Because in a world that we live in, we need to know that Jesus loves us. We need to know that somebody cares about us. Jesus loves us. He died for us. He cares about us. You know, I love to sing. And, you know, it was kind of different me being here and not singing, but I had a lot of stuff going on. I couldn't commit to coming to practice, but I love to sing. And I remember way, way back in the day. You see, used to I could say I remember back in the day, but now I've got to say I remember way, way back in the day. Because, you know, time just keeps on rolling. But I remember way back in the day when I was about 10 years old, eagerly wanting to become a teenager. I remember in the church that I went to, our youth would come up and gather around the piano and sing. And I always, man, I'd be out there watching. And I'm like, one day I'll be up there and I'll get to sing and I'll get to be a part of the youth. But I remember this song that they would sing, and I just loved it. And it comes back in my mind, and I find myself singing it in my mind sometimes. And it answers the question. The course of it answers the question. How will they know that we are Christians? This course of the song answers the question. I don't know. Some of you may have sang it when you were growing up, but it's, how will they know that we're Christians? It says, and they will know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Very important that we love like Jesus. See, Paul lets us know in Romans that our duty, our obligation to all is to love. We are to love God and we are to love people. Love God, love people. You see, it's a lot easier to love God than it is to love people. But Paul pretty much demands us to. He demands us to. He learned from the best. He learned from Jesus. Paul did. He learned from the best how to love, and he wants us to love like Jesus also. Why can Paul demand us to love? How can he do that? Why? He can demand us to love because he knows Jesus wants us to love. You see, because we are to love like Christ. And Christ's love will always be infinitely greater than ours. So we will always have the obligation to love people, to love all people. See, Paul learned from the best. He learned from Jesus. He knew exactly what love looked like. He knew exactly how it needed to be demonstrated. And he's telling us as Christians that that's the way we need to love, just like Jesus. We're going to be in Romans chapter 13. We're going to be verses 8 through 14. So if you'll stand with me, we're going to look at what Paul first says about love and then about what he says about light. So Romans 13, 8 through 14. Here we go. It says, owe no one anything except to love each other. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to the neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. You may be seated. So what's Paul telling us first off? Paul's telling us we must love. We must love. Owe no one anything except to love them. We owe people a lot of stuff, right? We borrow money. Sometimes we do different things, and we owe them a lot. But Paul is driving it home. He says, owe no one anything except to love them. So if we don't owe them anything, we owe them love, because Christ loved everyone. Christ loved us. We owe them everything. When you love someone, you fulfill the law. What did he say? You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet any other commandment. They're all summed up in this: love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. What does that look like? Say, love your neighbor as yourself. So what does that look like? Here's a few things. Do we see that others are fed? We make sure that we're fed, right? We love ourselves, so we make sure we're taken care of that way. Do we see that others are fed, that they are clothed? We make sure we have nice stuff to wear. Do we make sure they have a roof over their head? We make sure we have a nice place to live, a nice place to stay when it rains, coming out of the elements, get cool. We make sure we have a nice place. Do we make sure that they have a nice place to stay, a place they can go to when they don't have a home? Do we love our neighbor as we love ourselves? That's the way we're supposed to. When we love our neighbor as ourselves, we fulfill the law. Let me read a couple of more scriptures. We back up a couple of weeks. We read them a couple of weeks ago, but I want to pick out a few that talk about love. I'm going to read Romans 12:9-10, and then I'm going to skip to 14, and then skip to 16 and 18, and then 20. Listen to what it says. Let love be genuine. Abhor or hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. And then in 14 it says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. 16 it says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. And then it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. We're supposed to love. Christians are supposed to love. Those are some very easy ways that we are instructed to love. But what about the ultimate love? What is the ultimate love? How about this? I think this is the ultimate love. Jesus telling the disciples that he is going to give his life for them. That's the ultimate love. That is the way that we should love also, just as he loves. Listen to what Jesus is telling them in John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." The ultimate love. Jesus is telling the disciples, he says, man, you want to know what love is? Just hang with me, because I'm fixing to show you the ultimate love. What about John 3:16? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Ultimate love. Ultimate love. Look, the gospel story, all in one verse. Genuine love for people like you and me who don't deserve it. We don't deserve it. We don't deserve that kind of love. It's genuine love for people like you and me. We don't deserve it, but he offers his love to us anyway. You want to be loved, forgiven, saved, part of the family of God? Then just believe in this amazing love and let Jesus do the rest. You say, nobody loves me. John, I don't know if I got enough people that I can count on my hand that loves me. Jesus loves you. That's all that matters. And he died for you. And he wants you to experience his awesome, amazing love. Paul is telling us that we must, that's what we must do. He is telling us that is what Christians do. They love, and they are to never stop loving. Never stop loving. Owe no one anything except to love them. We owe everyone love over and over and over and over and over again. You say, man, well, what if they do me wrong? What if they treat me bad? What if they still supposed to love them? Over and over and over again. Jesus never stops loving us. Praise the Lord, right? Jesus never stops loving us. Jesus is not asking us to do something that he hasn't already done and something that he does not continue to do over and over and over, because we all mess up. We all do things that we know that we shouldn't do. We all disappoint him from time to time, but he never stops loving us. And he's telling us, Christians, that that's the way we need to love. See, love is a verb. Love is a verb. Have you ever heard that statement? I used to hear it when I was growing up in the youth, and I was like, what? Love is a verb. I don't understand that. But love is a verb. It's not just a feeling. It requires action. Love requires action. You see, I can say I love you, and if I'm not willing to help you out when you get in a bad situation, I don't really love you. Maybe I just kind of like you. Love is a verb. It requires action. It's not just a feeling. To love someone, you have to be willing to do something for them. You have to put forth some effort. Sometimes it's not easy to love, but it's always the best thing to do. It's not easy. Sometimes, man, you have to really put in some work to love someone. But it's always the best thing to do. Let's talk about our example, Jesus. What did he do for us? What action did he take? You see, some of us are hard to love. Some of us, man, are like some of the ones that maybe spit in Jesus' face or cursed him or denied him. What kind of action did he take to show his great love to us? He died on the cross. He died to pay the penalty of our sin, because he knew that we couldn't pay it. And he so wanted a relationship with us that he took action. And he died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. He defeated death. He defeated death for us. So that his love for us would be eternal. Never ending. On and on and on. His love goes on and on and on just for us. Why is that important? Because I need to share it. And I need to let others know of this great love that Jesus has not only for me, but also for them. I got to share it. Verse 10, what does verse 10 say? Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So who is our neighbor? Some of you might be questioning, well, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. I live way out of town, only got two or three neighbors, so, hey, I'm kind of off the hook. I only have to love two or three people because that's the only people that live around me. No. No. Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? Look, it tells us in Luke chapter 10, 36 and 37, it tells us who our neighbor is. You see, Jesus has, he's been talking and telling and teaching a parable. And he's teaching the parable about the Good Samaritan. And you all know the story. You've heard it, man. This guy's going from one place to the next, and he's going down this road, and some robbers and some thieves come upon him, and they beat him down, and they take his stuff, and they leave him just to die. And he's just laying there dying, and these two people walk by on this side of the road, and they kind of glance at him, but they don't want to look too close to him, because if they do, it might make them feel bad that they're going to just walk on past him. But they just walk on past him, two people, and they leave this guy just about to die. And then the next person comes by, a Samaritan, and he sees him. And he bends down and he takes care of him and he bandages him up and he lifts him up and he takes him somewhere to give him some shelter, and he gives the guy some money to give him some food, and he says, take care of him. And Jesus is telling this parable, and he says, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And then the man responds that he's talking to. He said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus says, you go and do likewise. So our neighbors are anyone that we meet or come in contact with. Once, twice, three times. It doesn't matter. If we come in contact with someone, they are considered our neighbor. And we are to let the love of Christ spill out of us and touch them. We're supposed to share with them. We're supposed to help them. We're supposed to give them mercy. Who showed mercy to us? Jesus. He shows mercy to us over and over and over. Ephesians 2 and 4 says he is rich in mercy. We're supposed to show mercy. We're supposed to love. Jesus is our example. Our only debt that we are to carry is the debt to love one another. I put this down on a slide. It says, love is a permanent obligation. We will always have the debt to love, and we must always be willing to pay it. Pay love forward. See, we've got this debt. We know that we're supposed to love. We've got to always be willing to pay it. Don't say, well, I'm going to avoid this opportunity and I'm just going to go this way. No. When the opportunity presents itself to show love, we as Christians are supposed to show it. Be willing to pay it. Pay love forward. What else does he say here? Moving on down just a little bit. Romans 13, verse 11. says, besides this, you know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So what's he saying? We've got to wake up. Christians, we have to wake up. We have to quit just playing Christian and get busy being a Christian. Quit playing Christian and be a Christian. Paul is telling them to wake up. Wake up. Paul is urging Christians to wake up and quit just going through the motions. That's hard to hear, right? It's hard for me to hear. You say, well, John, man, I come to church on Sunday. Well, what do you do when you leave? I'm not just preaching to you guys. I'm preaching to me. What do I do when I leave? Do I show love? Do I show mercy? Or am I just going through the motions? Man, Paul is telling us, quit going through the motions and do it. Just be who you say you are. Get busy. Get exciting. Get excited. The time is near, and we as Christians need to live like the next day, the next hour, the next minute could be our last. You see, the next time we see that friend that we're gonna that we've been telling ourselves, one of these days I'm going to show them the love of Christ. One of these days I'm going to tell them how they can become a Christian, how they can be saved. Maybe that's the last time you'll see them. We got to tell them. Quit putting it off. Wake up. We have a job to do. We must first love, and we must wake up and share the gospel. The greatest love story ever. We have to share it with our neighbor because the day of salvation is closer now than when we believed. It's closer now than ever. You say, oh man, they've been saying that for years. Well, it's closer now than it was yesterday. And we better get busy doing what God has called us to do. How many neighbors, how many friends, how many family members need you to wake up, love them, and show them the way to Jesus? They need to see us as different than the world. They need to see the light in us and not a resemblance of the dark. See, we have to be different. When we become a Christian, when we ask Jesus to forgive us and the Holy Spirit comes inside of us, it starts changing us. We don't want to look like what we used to look like. We don't want to look like the dark. We don't want to be involved in what everybody else is doing. We got to look different. If we don't look different, how will people know that we have the love of Jesus inside of us? How will they know that we have something that they need? We need to quit messing around and maybe quit hanging out with the same group that keeps pulling us away from Christ. Here's what Tony Evans says. Man, I love to read Tony Evans. Here's what he says. Too many Christians trust God enough to take them to heaven, but not enough to guide their daily lives. Thus, their lives look like the darkness around them. Man, Jesus, I trust you enough, man, that you're going to get me to heaven, but hey, I don't want to look like you. I don't want to live like you. I don't want to change. Man, I like doing what I was doing before I became a Christian. I don't want to change. I just want you to get me to heaven because, man, I don't want to go to hell. Do you trust what Jesus did only enough to get you to heaven? Or do you trust him more than that? Do you trust him to bring you out of the darkness into the marvelous light? Whew. Man. If we would just trust him to bring us out of the darkness into the marvelous light, how great would that be? Do you trust him to change you, or are you just satisfied staying the way you are? Enough with the darkness. The day is at hand. The day is at hand. Got to get away from the darkness. Shine your light. Let God's light shine through you so that others may not be overtaken by the darkness. You see, the devil is out trying to grab a hold of people left and right. And he's trying to pull them away, pull them into the darkness. He doesn't want them to see the light. But we got to show them the light so that if the devil's got a hold of them trying to pull away, the light is bright enough that they can see. And they can, man, there's a different way. I need to make a change in my life. Let your light shine so that they won't be overtaken by the darkness. Check this out. Darkness cannot defeat the light. Darkness cannot defeat the light unless we don't let our light shine. You see, darkness is all around us. And darkness can't defeat the light unless we don't let our light shine. We got to let our light shine. What is darkness? Total absence of light. How do you defeat darkness? Let your light shine. The light of Jesus shining through us defeats the darkness every time. If this room is dark and you come into it and you can't see and you're bumping into everything, how do you defeat the darkness that's in this room? You turn on the light switch, right? How can we defeat the darkness of sin that's all around us, that our friends are bumping into every day and being grabbed and pulled away? We got to let our light shine. Flip the switch. Show them you're a Christian. That's what we got to do. Because light defeats darkness every time. What's the next thing that Paul tells us that we need to do? Listen to what he says here. He says, the night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime. So he says, put on the armor of light. Put on Jesus. It's time to suit up with the armor of Jesus. Put on the uniform and represent Jesus, the light of the world. You see, most everybody in here, or a lot of people in here, I would say, have played on a sports team, right? When you put on the uniform, what happens? Man, you're serious about what you're doing. You're representing your school or whatever team that you're playing for. You're representing. You've got the suit on, and you're serious about what you're doing. Paul's telling us, put on the armor of light. Put on the uniform of a Christian. Suit up. Get out there and represent Jesus the way you're supposed to. He says the night is far gone and the day is at hand. He said it's time for the things that are done in the darkness to stop. And it's time for us Christians to suit up and represent Jesus. He said get rid of those things that represent the darkness and put on the things of the day, the things of the light. Paul is telling the Christians that it is time to start acting like Christians. It's time to start acting Christ-like. You see, that's what the name Christian means, Christ-like. And if we're a Christian, that's what we're supposed to be like. Each and every day, we're supposed to grow closer and closer to Christ so that we look more and more and more like Him each and every day. What does it look like to put on the armor of light? Tony Evans, once again, Here's what he says. We put on the armor of light in two ways. We put on the Lord, we put on the Lord Jesus Christ, living by faith, studying his word, and seeking to reflect him in our actions. And here's the other way. We don't make plans to gratify the desires of the flesh, which would counteract being clothed in Christ. See, if we've got the uniform on, we're representing Christ, and we don't do anything that would make it look like we're doing anything different than representing the one that we're playing for, the team that we're on. We'll make sure that we live by faith in him, that we study his word, and we seek and reflect him in our actions, and we don't want to take any part in anything that would pull us down or pull him down or not let our light shine so that others would see him. See, both of these things help us look more like Christ, and they help us stay out of the dumpsters of sin. See, if you got your best clothes on, you don't go out and flip the lids open on a dumpster and go looking for some kind of treasure in the dumpster, because what's going to happen? All your nice new clothes are going to get all dirty and stained because you're digging around in some place that you really don't need to be. We need to look more like Christ, and we need to stay out of the dumpsters of sin. Don't mess with all the dirtiness of the world. Shine bright. Keep that uniform looking nice. I thought this was important, so I put it down on a slide. Check this out. We can't just try to cover up the sin or the works of darkness. We must cast it off, get rid of it, so that the light of Jesus may shine brightly and not be dim or dirty. See, if I'm putting on my brand new uniform, I'm not going to put it on over my old dirty clothes, right? Because what's happened? What's going to happen? It's going to show through. It's going to be dull and dirty, and it's not going to look like it's anything important at all. I got to get rid of that stuff, and then I got to put on the armor. I got to shine brightly and not be dim. We as Christians can't participate in the works of darkness, such as orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality and sensuality, quarreling, jealousy, and any other sinful desire. We just can't. We don't look any different. We've got to shine brightly for Jesus. What is your sinful weakness where the devil attacks you and tries to make you fall into his trap? You see, maybe it's not drunkenness. Maybe it's not sexual immorality. Maybe it's not quarreling or jealousy. But what does Satan throw at you? How does he tempt you to get you to do something you know you're not supposed to? How does he tempt you to make your light dim where that others can't see Jesus Christ shining through you? You know what it is. The devil knows what it is. You need to ask Jesus to help you overcome those temptations when the devil throws them at you. The devil doesn't want your light to shine. He wants to put something over it. He wants to dim it so that others can't see Jesus. Can you imagine putting on the light, the uniform of a Christian, and then doing these things at the same time? No way. No way. Christians can't. We must listen to what Paul is saying and get away from the darkness. Make no provisions for the flesh to gratify its desires. Tony Meridia says this. He says, say no to any thought that may lead you to sin. Avoid even the desire for it. Do not plan to sin. Do not daydream about sin. Do not seek comfort in sin. Do not flirt with sin. Do not entertain the idea that a wild night of drunkenness and partying will cure your loneliness, sadness, or boredom. Direct your mind to the beauty of Christ. What happens if we dwell on something and we can't get it out of our mind, we just keep dwelling on it? What happens? It leads us to sin. He says, man, he says, don't even think about it. Don't even let it cross your mind. There's no help in it. Jesus is the only way. Direct your mind to the beauty of Christ. Focus on Christ. So how do we make sure we stay in the light? We know we're supposed to love. You know, we know we're supposed to let our light shine. We know we're supposed to put on the armor of Christ. How do we make sure we stay in the light? We can't do it by ourselves. We must allow the Holy Spirit to work inside of us, changing us from the inside out into the Christian that we want to be and the Christian that we need to be. We need to listen to the Holy Spirit and let Him change us and make us more like Christ. We can truly live like Christ if we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Check this out. We can truly live like Christ if we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. You can do it, right? You can do it because the Holy Spirit lives inside of each and every one of us who are a born-again Christian. So it's not that we can't do it. The Holy Spirit lives inside of us. He's changing us. He's trying to change us. We just have to want to let the Holy Spirit shape us in to the Christian that Jesus wants us to be, the Christian that we want to be, the Christian that we need to be for a lost world that we're in and out of each and every single day. We can because the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. Last slide. I put this down because I don't want you to forget. Remember, Jesus is better than sin. Always has been, always will be. If you hadn't wrote anything else down, if you hadn't put anything else in your mind, remember this. Jesus is better than sin. Always has been, always will be. So we've talked about love, we've talked about light, we've talked about that we need to share Jesus. Somebody out here might be saying, well, man, who is this Jesus, and why do I need him, and how can I have him, and what do I need to do with him? How can I respond to him? I feel the need. I've got some questions in my mind. I think I want to be a Christian. How can I do it? It's very, very simple. We just have to believe Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what he said he would do. So what is that? He is who he said he is. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords who left his throne in heaven to come down to earth to pay the penalty for our sin because we're all sinful people. And Jesus knows, he knew before he created us that we were all going to sin. And we all have a debt that we can't pay. He came down to earth and he died to pay the penalty for our sin. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again, had victory even over death. You see, if you want to become a Christian, it's as easy as ABC. ABC. A, admit that you're a sinner. The Bible tells us we're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. All we have to do is admit that we are a sinner. that we've done wrong things. B, we have to believe that Jesus paid the penalty for our sin on the cross. And C, we have to confess that Jesus is Lord and call upon Him for salvation. You see, it's easy. It's not hard. You just have to admit, believe, and confess.